I smell a nasty microphone, but I also smell a training camp report.
Training camp coverage powered by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy in Mentor.
Before COVID, you guys all used to sit there and like talk into the same mic screen. It was like, good God, you guys are disgusting. Resting your mouths on the same mic screen. A bunch of grown men being nasty. Anyway, so I got a lot of heat from the outside. This is a bizarre time for Browns fans, guys. You got to understand this. I got a lot of heat. Didn't get as much heat as I thought I was going to get. We ended up making the New York Post yesterday, Tone. Congratulations on all our success.
Oh, all right. What was it, talking about Stephen Kwan?
No, it was talking about Dylan. No, it was talking about Shedeur Sanders, obviously.
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
Can I level with fans here for a moment? I don't think I need to level with Browns fans. I don't think I do. Maybe they don't trust the Browns, and the Browns don't deserve to be trusted. They're 3-14, so maybe that's part of this whole thing that I don't want to recognize here. So yesterday, I get pretty animated over Shedeur Sanders and this belief that the Browns are sabotaging Shedeur. Or they're doing what they can to hurt Shedeur, break Shedeur, according to Uncle Luke, right? And I went, hold on. I can't sit there and scream and yell and berate at people every single day. I don't know, I've been doing it for 14 years. Maybe I can continue doing it. But I'm not gonna do it. Can I level with the Shedeur fans out there?
Day two of trying to level with the Shedeur fans.
I didn't try to level with them yesterday. I tried to beat the sense down into everybody and say what this situation is, and nobody wanted to listen to it. Even Browns fans, I was yelling at it about. I shouldn't yell. I'm not going to yell here. This is not a yell. Hey, it's like a fight when you have a fight with your wife, and it's like, hey, let's talk here. Let's sit at the kitchen table.
So you don't think yesterday sunk in appropriately?
Like not with the people who are just joining into being Browns fans because of Shedeur. I want to level with those folks right now. Okay, can we do that? Owen, can I do that?
I will allow it.
Let me try to reason with you guys. You don't trust the Browns. Okay, no reason to. I'm not even saying to trust the Browns. My whole point was I don't believe that they are going to try to break a guy on purpose. That's not the issue. If you don't think the Browns are good at evaluating quarterbacks, well, there is 25 plus years of evidence that would tell you that they're really not. But let me ask you this. When you guys give me the argument about the reps and the lack that he gets, I want to ask Daryl about this at 8:21 as well this morning. What is the other team in this league that has this magical amount of reps? Correction. I use the term magical. Now I'm being sarcastic and cynical and nasty.
Yeah, come on. Let's get
back
to...
Let me be nice. I'm sorry. Let me communicate better than that.
Brass
I'm sorry, guys.
Here, Kenny. Come on.
What is the other team that can offer Shedeur Sanders the same amount of reps as the Cleveland Browns? There is a dead silence
maybe
in the room.
One team I can think of.
I thought of one
as
team
currently constituted.
I thought of one team that might.
We're probably thinking of the exact same team.
New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, the Saints.
There's one team I thought that might be able to offer the same amount, but they have Tyler Shuck and they're getting him ready. They took him. Where did they take Tyler Shuck? Second round, yes, earlier this year. They took Tyler Shuck in the second round. Now, I agree with you. Shedeur Sanders is not a fifth round talent. For whatever reason in the NFL, 216-474-0092. Let me meet you halfway. I don't believe that Shedeur Sanders sucks.
Maybe the Jets.
And I was thoroughly surprised that he ended up in the fifth round. Something's weird here. But the Saints need a quarterback. Saints took Tyler Shuck. They have Spencer Rattler. They have Jake Haener. And I don't believe that they have all these reps that the Browns are 1 week in starting to really give Shedeur Sanders. You brought up the Jets. Who do the Jets got in their depth chart there?
Justin Fields.
Okay, well, he's gonna get the reps as long as his toe's okay. He needs the reps. He's not a 15. He's not a 17-year vet like Joe Flacco.
They've got Tyrod Taylor and Adrian Martinez.
Okay, well, we know from history that there seems like there's been 18,000 Adrian Martinez that have come from where? Nebraska,
I'm guessing. Right?
Yeah, thank you.
Martinez.
Told you. Champions pose on that one. And we know from experience, Terod's going to get his reps. We know about that already, right? So the Jets can't give you as many reps as what the Browns can give them. And the Saints can't give him as many reps as the Browns can give him. And again, both these teams are quarterback needy teams. They passed on him.
Now, if he would have been taken, let's just say, let's be generous. Let's say second round. Would we have that same analysis about getting reps?
No. But he would be getting more reps. See, this is where, guys, with the Shador fans, I agree with you. I can meet you halfway on some. I don't know why he fell to the fifth round, guys. I can't explain it. The only thing I can think of is that he walked into certain meetings and gave double birds to some of these teams, which is something he would never do. So I don't understand why he did get to the fifth round. But he did get to the fifth round. He got picked up by us. And I firmly believe we're the only team that can offer him the reps that he's getting. He's getting reps with the twos against the ones. It's been 1 week. Who knows what he's going to be getting reps with next
week? People have got to remember that. They are acting.
It's been 1 week.
This is a level of consumption in the NFL today in 2025. And people are so starved for anything football that what you just said is unbelievable. It's only been a week.
It's been a week.
Kenny, it feels like it's been a month. It's only been a week.
And
so fans do have to understand that. Like, it's so early. And the one knock, and I don't know what's true and what's not, but the one knock about Shador was maybe not ready, whiteboard, all that stuff. Maybe not ready right away.
Yeah, but I've seen other guys be not ready for the whiteboard and certainly go way before the fifth round.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
100%. We were all shocked. I mean, this show was talking about him as a potential number two overall pick at one point.
This whole station was. I think this whole city was talking about him as a potential number two overall pick.
But I will say the reaction, just the fact that it made the New York Post at all and your rant got on there to begin with, there is, without a doubt, a Tim Tebow element here. Do you think that's like the level that he is getting talked about and the exposure and how big of a fan base he cultivated in the college game? Like, there is, I am sensing.
There's a difference, though.
One was taken in the first round.
Yeah, I know. And I was, you know what? I'm shocked that Shador fell to the fifth, and I was damn sure shocked that Tim Tebow went in the first round. And the second thing I'll add to this, and I'll let you take that part over, because I know you've been thinking, I can tell you've been thinking about this for a while. I have way more faith in Shador Sanders as a that can become a starting franchise NFL quarterback than I ever had in Tim Tebow. Wins and losses, I know. Wins and losses you give to backups. You don't give that to franchise guys. I have way more faith in Shador Sanders than I ever had in Tim Tebow. Both good guys. Tim Tebow's obviously a walking saint on earth. Not saying that they're bad guys. I got way more faith that Shador Sanders can be a franchise quarterback than I ever did with Tim Tebow. Not in the same ballpark to me.
See, it's interesting because Tim Tebow famously had a huge playoff game.
Uh-huh.
Huge clutch touchdown throw in a playoff game. Was it against the Steelers?
Yes. So. Yeah.
So all the Steeler fans that are listening to us instead of Pittsburgh radio, salt in the wounds there.
They did send 11 against him. It was pretty easy to just throw it over the defense.
He did it. Point. He made it happen.
I was in charge of that defense at the time.
Can I give you two other teams that maybe he would get reps with?
All right.
The Indianapolis Colts, maybe. They have Anthony Richardson. They have
Daniel Jones.
And maybe the Raiders.
The Raiders are a wild-ass team. But why didn't those teams then take them higher than the fifth round?
Yeah, I agree.
So if they're all needy teams, like we took a quarterback in the third round, then we came back and we traded him in the fifth round. So that's what leads me to believe. You're right about those other teams, but I still don't believe that they could offer Shador as much as what the Cleveland Browns can offer him as far as opportunity.
Yeah, but they went and got Geno Smith. So what reps are you?
They did pay him. I'm not a Geno believer, but
No, I understand. But what reps are you talking about? Because you wouldn't if you went out and got Geno Smith.
Well, right now, if Kenny Pickett didn't get injured, right, he would be getting Shador would be getting no reps right now.
Apparently so.
So the reps he's getting right now are not real reps in my eyes.
I think we're all, and I'm going to take to the calls here coming up at 7:21. I promise you guys that. 216-474-0092. Did you have anything else to go on the Tebow thing before
The only reason I bring up Tim Tebow is because I am seeing a fan base from around the country, which is what Tebow had.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There were plenty of people that did not think Tebow was even worth a first-round pick. They couldn't even believe he was taken where he was taken.
Mm-hmm.
But he was such a celebrity figure. He was an all-time great college football player. He might have been. Yeah, you rank him as maybe the best in our lifetime. He's right up there in terms of effectiveness in college football. I don't even know what he was. I mean, he was a quarterback. He was an H-back. He was a running back. I mean, he did all that. And he won one Heisman. You thought he could win two. And Ty Archie, that is what I am experiencing right now in terms of the feedback we are getting from fans that are not Browns fans,
yeah,
that are Shador Sanders first fans.
I think
Tim Tebow had a Tim Tebow first fandom.
I agree with you. I think that's I really do think that that's an apt comparison. I think he was the first one to have his own fans. And now we're seeing a lot of guys with their own fans.
Yes, things are changing.
And there will be more Shador Sanders in the future and more Tim Tebows in the future than we've ever seen before. That's where college football is headed right now. I think we need to accept the truth, though, is that I still stand pat and I say, who was willing to offer more opportunity than the Cleveland Browns? Nobody. There's only one team that's willing to offer more opportunity than the Cleveland Browns. That's a professional football team, and that's the Toronto Argonauts. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm not trying to make a joke, and I'm not trying to be mean-spirited here. But that's the situation. I don't agree with the rest of the NFL. I don't think that he should have been a fifth-round pick. I think he should have been taken higher. But for some reason, and maybe we're going to find out here starting next Friday against the Carolina Panthers, because he's damn sure going to play. Maybe we'll start to find that out then,
yeah,
or maybe we'll start to prove the NFL wrong. Hopefully the latter. The NFL has something against him. All 32 teams at some point said, not for us. The NFL has something against him. It is my belief. Whatever that may be, maybe they just think he's a bad quarterback. But the NFL has something against him. And so if it weren't with the Browns, who's it going to be with?
So while
he was in the fifth round,
so
who was going to give him more? Who was going to give him more opportunity
if
he were
Sanders
a sixth
fans,
or a seventh round pick?
While all the Sanders fans are saying they wish he would have gone anywhere but Cleveland today because they feel like it's been unfair. They've got some grievance against him. They're holding him back. They're sabotaging. That was the term that we took offense to yesterday. You, Ken Carmen, are saying today, thank God the Browns took him. Because where else was he going to get that opportunity?
It's the best opportunity he has. It's the most open job in the NFL. It's the only real, truly, what's supposed to be open job in the NFL. And I'm talking about being a backup. I'm not even talking about being a starter here. They should never have said, you know what? I disagree with Daryl. Daryl was right. They should have never said it was a four-way competition. It was a totally open competition. That was probably not the smart thing to do. The messaging was not right. But as far as being a backup, I think it's as open as it gets. And to give him that opportunity. And if you got a 40-year-old quarterback that's starting the season who's a journeyman, we're not talking Aaron Rodgers here. You're on the fast track if you get that second quarterback job. So if he's able to beat out Dillon Gabriel and show what he has, guys, this is all going to be a waste of our time and our oxygen, arguing over reps in the first week of the season. I truly do believe, and talking to people who, by the way, are guys who cover the NFL, who are as cynical as they get about the Cleveland Browns, I will tell you this right now. Working the phones yesterday, because I'm listening to Jake Volnick. I'm driving around after football practice yesterday, and I'm listening to Jake. And it's not even Jake, it's the calls. And I go, what am I missing? And I got three people. Ken, you know what I think of the Browns. If I'm lying, I'm dying. On my kids. Ken, you know what I think of the Browns. They're doing 100% right by Shador. They're doing 100% right by him and giving him an opportunity. Because if he would have fallen to the sixth or seventh round, to me, if he would have fallen to the sixth or seventh round, he would have had even less of an opportunity. It's a packed room. It is very much a packed room. But he has a chance with this team that he just wouldn't have with anybody else. I can guarantee you that as long as he's able to conduct himself with professionalism, and he will, that he's going to play at some point in an NFL regular season game for the Cleveland Browns. You can't guarantee that with the 31 other teams. Can you? No. This is the best opportunity he has. Governor Mike DeWine released a statement yesterday. And this is at 4:07. Trade deadlines going around and the governor's releasing statements. The evidence that prop betting is harming athletics in Ohio is reaching critical mass. A particular problem is with micro prop bets on highly specific events within games that are completely controlled by one player. Well, there's no basic about it. He is referencing the Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz investigation that's going on right now, which everybody's kind of call a in suspension, which it's not a suspension. They are on a paid leave list. We'll see how this all goes. He gives a very long statement where he does, in the final paragraph, mention specifically Luis Ortiz and Emmanuel Clase.
On the heels of two Guardians pitchers suspended in connection to a gambling investigation, Governor Mike DeWine is calling for the Ohio Casino Control Commission to remove prop bets. Prop bets are bets on an event in a game instead of the game's outcome. The governor has previously spoken up about prop bets after college students were threatened at the University of Dayton over these bets. The governor is also asking the commissioners and unions of six major sports leagues to join him in banning prop bets. This season, the MLB has placed Luis Ortiz and Emmanuel Clase on leave while they investigate.
Audio courtesy of News 5. All right, time for the McLaughlin Group. Is this political overreach or a good idea? Jack German.
So I kind of scoffed at the notion that this was some huge Black Sox-type scandal, right? The next morning after this happened.
You said I totally overrated it. And then Jeff Passan said, and all of a sudden everybody was okay.
Then he mentioned it. He's like, let's see, even though the Guardians have been told there's nobody else involved.
Just be live and Passan though, in the morning, apparently.
That argument, though, was more of betting fans and not betting fans, right? And the passion for what it did to the season versus...
Yeah, for sure.
Versus what it did to your bank account, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This seems like an overreaction because we're talking about, now he called them prop bets. He's talking about, it's the actual terminology is micro bets, right?
Like he mentioned that he wrote micro bets in the statement.
Okay, when, I just saw everybody run wild with the prop bet thing yesterday. And I don't think the micro betting thing is some big tarnishing, compromising thing to the gambling community. You know how I know that? No gambling has slowed down. Like, there's been no evidence that fans are taking their ball and going home when it comes to betting because
I don't think that's what he's arguing about. Well, there's no argument about the money. I think he's arguing about, like,
being able to control the outcome of a situation.
Yeah, I think basically to me, it's on you. It's on you, the fan. Like, we've always known the easiest type of bet to compromise are the ones that at least we know Ortiz. We don't know specifics yet with Class A, really.
But
with Ortiz, it's like, yeah, the first pitch of a game, you know, whether or not it's a ball or a strike. Like, those are the ones that if you're going to bet yourself $50,000 on, all right, if you lose that bet, I mean, this is part of the number. It's part of why the wager is available to take your money if you're stupid enough to gamble on it.
It's not about the business of it. It's not just about the business of it. He is also mentioning specifically threats being made towards college athletes, which is, listen, the guy's always been against gambling. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's been very publicly against gambling, did not want legalized gambling in the state, certainly didn't want sports betting in the state. He did not want any of this, and I think that he wanted to tax gambling harder when it came to the Browns stadium situation. He saw that as a way to do it. That one didn't fly. So he's looking for a way to curb gambling any way he can before he's done with his term. I don't think that this is a great idea. I think that this is political overreach. I think that you should make athletes follow the rules. I also think that people who are making threats online should be investigated and probably be brought to justice as best they possibly can.
We've never had as sophisticated a system in place to catch the actors who are acting in a way that is illegal. We've never had a better system set up.
Why are you allowed to bet on a single pitch, though, when we literally have a term called a throwaway pitch?
Because it's just exactly what Lima said. It makes money.
Now, the one thing
people bet on it.
I don't understand, and this came up through all this, too. At least to me, it stood out. Like, you're allowed to bet on, like, WrestleMania and the outcome of matches in WrestleMania.
That we know are scripted.
That we know that it's just a group of four or five guys sitting around and going, oh, okay, we think this guy should win. And then he gets to win.
I think there are... look, if you want to say that for your own best interest, should we have guardrails? Should we have limits?
I love guardrails.
On stuff like this. You know, again, the Malik Beasley situation, where they're right now still being investigated. The FBI is involved, and they're wondering, you know, is he swaying games when all we've seen is him take shots at the end of a blowout game? Like, that's on you if you're betting on those situations. Like, I don't think Malik Beasley was throwing games, or we have any evidence that he was throwing games. That's very different. That is, again, going to be something that you're going to be on to. Like, again, our methods of catching these guys, it's pretty insane how quickly things get flagged. We saw the college baseball scandal
different?
Where was it? Was it LSU?
It was Alabama.
Alabama. They caught it within seconds of these wagers coming in.
Because who's gambling on regular season? Trying to throw a game and throw a play.
What's the difference?
You're trying to change the outcome. You're trying to influence the outcome of something that's not per chance, right?
And you don't think also that coaches would be onto this before anybody else?
I really don't care. I'm just trying to see the logic in it. Like,
so do you want to get rid of this stuff?
Look,
either say we'll police this thing, but not this thing.
Well, it's an impossibility. We're dealing with. You know, players that they're human, right?
Right.
You're dealing with them. There are always going to be attempts to earn money on the side. It's been going on from the onset of sports gambling, whether it's been legal or illegal. It's just now that it's legal, we have ways that we can actually catch them that we never had before.
I've watched games where umpires call balls that were clearly strikes, and how do we differentiate between that and a pitcher throwing a ball or a strike? Now, obviously, these pitches that people are calling out, they're spiking the ball into the dirt 3 feet short of home plate. And they're supposed to be the best guys in the world to do it.
By the way, do we know yet that those were the exact things that they're worried about with Emmanuel Clase?
No, not on Clase, but
okay,
Ortiz.
We knew with Ortiz. But with Clase, right now, that's just hearsay. So I'm not saying that we got to differentiate that.
There's a ton of great theories on the internet if you'd like to go down rabbit holes on what's going on.
My point has always been, if you're going to be an athlete in professional sports, you should not be allowed to gamble whatsoever. I don't care. Even I've gotten to the point where table games now, it's just this way. Like, you know, you got all the time in the world to gamble, except if you're Gilbert Arenas, apparently. You got all the time in the world after you're an athlete to gamble. You can't be gambling
while
it's
happening. And those are the rules. How many NFL players have been suspended already once they caught them engaging in that activity?
But you've also had, I'm talking table games, everything, because I think it impugns the reputation of. But that is a work rule. I'm not talking about the federal government coming in and telling you that you can't do prop bets and you can't do micro bets and things like that. That, I think, would be considered political overreach. You can tax the hell out of it if you want to. They can tax anything. I'm not saying, if you want to tax it, tax it. But to say, well, you can't do it when you've already opened it, that's a step too far. Ask the guys to follow the rules, and if they don't follow the rules, well, we'll find out by August 31st there could be severe penalties here. Vito in Youngstown, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you. Go ahead.
I'm just curious why DeWine's trying to ruin every Ohio sports bettor's life right now.
Ooh, that's strong. Continue, Vito.
One of the dumbest prop bets I thought were the first pitch strike or ball. And if that's something that he thinks being manipulated, then just take that prop bet away from the sports book.
Well,
one of the few that I think can be manipulated.
I think that you could. Because, you know, this is one of the theories here, Vito, as well. Because when he writes, the governor, not you, but the governor writes, pronouns are important. When the governor writes about the threats that are made to an athlete, you know, that's very specific language in there. Because we're talking about college athletes. No one with a brain believes that a college athlete should be threatened over prop bets or micro bets, whatever. But there's
you can't even bet on college props in Ohio.
And there's all, but I'll tell you this too, Vito. Like, part of this whole Emmanuel Clase thing, and all this is hearsay. Certainly, there's hearsay, but there are theories going around where it's like, hey, you know, these guys are from the Dominican Republic. They are not Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or Aaron Judge. These guys are not pro players, but they're not stars. Could somebody perhaps threaten them or threaten people that are close to them if they don't do something like that? But that would still be, to me, on the responsibility. You could lobby and put pressure on the sports book to say it is your responsibility to offer something that's safer, and then they can answer it the way they want. But I think I agree with you. When it comes down to government overreach, I think that this is still would be too far.
to ban all preps, all props, I just don't think is something that would benefit the sports books. Especially, I read a while back that ever since gambling or sports gambling became illegal in Ohio, Ohio's mm-hmm. been like one of the top three states in the country in sports gambling. Mm-hmm. Is that something that like the sports books could all push back against the wine on, and the amount of money they would lose?
Oh, certainly,
I
mean, they
would
could.
Definitely pull back on my sports gambling if that were something to be. And what's going to stop people in other states from placing those bets if it's just banned in Ohio?
And it's also the point, Vito. And thank you very much for the call. It doesn't stop anybody who owns barbershops. It doesn't stop anybody who owns bars. It doesn't stop anybody. I mean, when gambling was illegal, there were still stories of pressure being put on certain guys to do certain things. It's a time-honored conversation that we've had in professional sports since the beginning of talking about professional sports. So just getting rid of it is not some magical elixir, because I still think you have to do what's done. There will still be people threatening people online over it, or threatening their families online for it. Sad to say, but true. And there will still be people that, are probably having problems and are doing things that they shouldn't be doing or playing in the sports. Getting rid of those will not magically solve those things. The only things that will solve that is the people going after the people who threat, which means the police, FBI, whoever it may be, and then the leagues going after the players saying, you can't do this, and if you do, there are going to be severe, severe penalties that you will pay for it. Oh. All right, fine, then. You know what? Okay, Matt Derry, Derry Brothers Guardians Cast on the free Odyssey app, 92.3 The Fan, at Derry Speaks on Twitter. He's on the fan hotline. Okay, fine. I'm just going to be you guys want
it? I still think
I'll give it
play.
To you. I'll give it to you. Do you think the Browns are giving Shedeur Sanders a fair opportunity, Matt? I'm just going to ask you Browns questions if you guys just want to be sticks in the mud and talk Browns all the time. At trade deadline here, I'm bringing Matt on to talk baseball, and you guys are just sitting there saying the season's not going through the motions about the season not over. Fine. Should Shedeur get more reps, Matt? Should he get reps with the ones? Come on. Camp today.
What time you guys doing Vinny Bernie?
With Judas Priest. Is this what we on 14:20 this morning, or what's going on?
Hey,
here?
I missed Tim Couch and Kelly Smith.
That was more our generation there. All right, Matt. You had some very strong words to the point I texted you. I go, you for real, brother?
Did you?
You said if Stephen Kwan got traded, you were done with the Guardians until the Dolans sold the team. I think a lot of people wanted to agree with you, but did you really mean that, Matt?
Well, look, I like doing the podcast. I like watching the games, but I would have taken my fandom about three levels down. I'm not going to spend my amounts of time and my energy on something where they don't care about me. You know, I'm a paying customer. My brother's a paying customer. And you treat us that way at your restaurant, I'm not coming to eat there anymore. I mean, the Guardians basically right now are that restaurant that refuses to put the menu on their website, but you got to go to the Facebook page to see it. That's what they are. They're still up and running. Food's probably not bad, but they're not making it real easy for you to find it. And that's what they're doing right now. What answers did we get from Chris Antonetti yesterday? Got nothing.
He wasn't wearing a polo, Matt.
Wasn't wearing a polo. That sends a message.
Oh, the golf shirt mafia took a day off?
Yesterday, it was athleisure.
Even Tony Soprano wore shorts once.
I'm frustrated. And look, I'm breathing a sigh of relief like you guys. Season is not over. You're right. I was at the gym today. The TV screens had SportsCenter on, and there's Guardians, only three out of the wild card. They're right there. But did they add any pieces? Did they go get another bat? You know, Harrison Bader would have been nice to put in right field instead of the guy that plays every day that has three home runs and is no good. But Chris Antonetti says he likes the roster. He's happy with where they are in 2025. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think they're trying. I don't think they're going to try next year either. They, the Dolans, and a bevy of owners, I would probably say a good 70% of the baseball owners, are ready to shut this thing down in 2027, and a countdown is on. And unfortunately, we're grouped in that mix.
Well, I was going to ask you why you think all of a sudden after, you know, a decade of, you know, on again, little off, on again, real contention for playoff spots every year, and then, you know, giving fans some great moments, why you think all of a sudden this is the way they want to go following an ALCS year. And what you're basically saying, it's all the economics of baseball. It's all about that work stoppage coming up.
I truly believe that, Anthony. I think this is all financially related. I mean, we can say they're not trying. And of course they want to win. Of course Chris Antonetti wants to win. Of course Mike Chernoff wants to win. They hired a really good manager who wants to win, and Stephen Vogt. I think he's done a good job. The owner wants to win, but they don't want to try. They don't want to put forth the effort, which means spending money, and they've got a lot of things. I know Ken talks about all the time the TV contract. They got a lot of excuses, and they shut down basically a lot of the media questioning. They do a great job of spin. And, you know, Chris Antonetti was whoever it was, Joe Noga, whoever it was yesterday that said, how close are you to trading Stephen Kwan? Which is a legitimate question. And his response is, I'll just tell you what I told Stephen, which is we love him and so do the other teams. That's not an answer. But they're not being pressed because they're actually not a bad team. They're an average team, but they're actually still in it. But watching every night like I do, you can't tell me you're serious. When you're putting Arias out there every day and Jones out there every day, you're not serious. Manzardo hits two home runs and the next night isn't in the lineup, you're not serious. And that's too bad because I'm serious. You guys are serious. We want to see a winner. And half the division right now is giving up. Detroit went dumpster diving at the deadline. They didn't spend any money and go get anybody real because they're also trying to watch their – financial responsibility. It's crazy. They're in first place. They should be going for it. Even they didn't go for it.
I had Matt Derry with us on the hotline yesterday. I was resigned to the fact with all the news and rumors on social media that Kwan was going to get traded. He wasn't. So what do you think that means for the future of Kwan? Is this just delaying the inevitable?
I hope not. I hope that somehow there's some sort of Hail Mary that you know, a Tim Couch to Kevin Johnson. There you go, Ken. That occurs.
Here it is.
So that occurs so that we can keep a guy that wants to be here, that is exemplifies everything you want in a Cleveland Guardian and how he plays on both sides, offensively and defensively, is an unbelievable guy in the community and is a really good to great player. And you want to keep those people. You got a complete Hail Mary on Jose Ramirez. And since then, everybody's been has unfortunately left. And now, you know, you traded a Cy Young Award winner yesterday, which I actually liked that trade, getting Steven from the Blue Jays. I thought that was pretty good. But I don't know, Anthony. I think everything is focused on a lockout in 2027. And, you know, fans are thinking, what about this offseason? What's free agency going to look like? They sat out the last couple off seasons. What makes you think they're going to do anything this offseason? I think, unfortunately, right now, everything's on hold. Everything.
Well, I read the CBS report. Matt Derry joins us here on the show. I read the CBS Sports, not report, but they did the grades, right? And they gave the Guardians a big fat F, the writers from CBS did. And they brought up the Bieber thing. And I said, well, you know, this is where the national writers and the Cleveland Guardians fans have been on different pages for a very long time. Because usually it's been fans are mad, national media loves the Guardians. They're going right after the Guardians, and you sit there and you go, well, wait a minute. I made peace with Shane Bieber being traded at the beginning of last year, and then Lima described it as found money because he's able to come back. I didn't really know what he was going to be able to provide us considering we had to push back all his starting again. So, Matt, like, do you see this season as, like, a lost season? Do you see this season as still having a chance? It's just this weird void of anything that comes to how competitive they really are, if they are.
There is a chance, and here's why. It has nothing to do with the Guardians really going for it and wanting to win. It's because everything around them is blowing up, and they can actually walk over the coals and get to the other side. They have three games this weekend with a team that just traded 10 players. Imagine doing this radio show in Minnesota, in Minneapolis and St. Paul this morning. The Twins can't field a roster. That ownership has been trying to sell, couldn't sell to the Ishbia Group, who bought the White Sox instead, and now they're like, get us out of here. They just traded everybody. The Astros just took all the money on the Carlos Correa deal. Like, that's insanity. You just traded 10 players, both your closers, Duran and Griffin Jacks. I mean, the Twins are coming in this weekend with no roster. So there's no reason the Guardians can't win 2 out of 3 or sweep. So you look up and go, oh, they're only 3 back, but there's so many teams that aren't trying that are just giving up. And so there's a shot. You never know. But are they good enough on the field to make a run based off of what happened last year? No, they're not. They're not. Teams like Texas, Seattle, Yankees all added, even Detroit to an extent added a little, and they're all superior. But to make the third wild card, yeah, they could do that.
So now that Shane Bieber and his days are over here in Cleveland, what do you make of the Shane Bieber career as a Guardian? Cy Young Award winner, somebody who won the pitching triple crown. We remember him in the All-Star game here in Cleveland. What do you think?
Oh, I love the guy. I thought he was great. Unfortunately, the Tommy John surgery was just sucked, because if you would have had him last year in the playoffs, who knows how differently that would have looked. I have nothing but love for him. The fact that he decided to sign back up for this year and work with the same pitching group and the doctors, and said he wanted to give it a shot, I thought that was cool. And I don't blame either side for what happened yesterday. I think the Cal Steven kid from Toronto has a chance to be really good, and that's a top five prospect in the Blue Jays system. The Bieber thing does not bother me that much. I know fans on the periphery and casuals, as they say, would go, oh, traded another Cy Young Award winner. Well, hold on a second. The trade they made when they got rid of Corey Kluber to get Class A was a great trade. Maybe this trade will work out. Shane Bieber was not, N-O-T, was not picking up his player option next year. He wasn't. He's trying to go out, and especially with the lockout coming, and get as much money as he can, and I don't think the Guardians would have, I know for a fact they weren't going to pay him if he pitches well in September. So I got nothing but love for the guy.
All right, this came up yesterday on the Emerging Podcast Scene, of which I know from one podcast person to another that you're dialed in. But what do we say now about Shane Bieber's Cy Young Award season in the COVID year?
It still counts. No? I don't know.
Well, I'm going to say it didn't.
He had 16 starts that season.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, 12.
So you're saying it doesn't count.
No, I'm asking you how much it counts.
I say it does. You played a season. The records are the records. I have no issue with it.
It counts. Yeah. It just doesn't count as much as the other Cy Young Awards.
No, you introed one of the questions as former Cy Young Award winner. So
yes,
I'm not
sitting going, what if that...
I didn't jump up and down.
We asked this at the time. What if that would have been the Guardians/Indians World Series title that year?
I would have taken it. I just want one. I don't care how it comes to me. Just bring it to me, please. I want to put that ring on one day. I'm dying here. Dying.
What do you think of LeBron's bubble championship?
That was a joke.
Oh, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. There's still a trophy in the case. You can't call it a joke if you're not going to call Shane Bieber's a joke. Thank you.
Oh man, if I have to watch Nolan Jones tonight, I swear to God.
Continue. Keep going. Hold on. Keep building on that sentence there. I want to see where you go with this.
I pick on him on our podcast, and I probably shouldn't.
But you should.
I mean, that's the thing that bothers me, is that this team is not bad. I don't know if they're good. They're probably right down the middle, but man, there's other options. There has to be, if you're trying to win, and I just don't get it. It drives me crazy. Yeah, it drives me crazy.
Matt, we were talking earlier, Owen had asked, would it have been addition by subtraction if Carlos Santana had been dealt? Like, what do you think now this lineup is going to look like going forward, and what does it mean for Kafis? What does it mean for Manzardo?
Kyle Manzardo should be playing every day. I don't care if it's DH first base. I don't care if you have to teach him right field. Put him out there so you can find out what you have. The kid's hitting the ball over the fence. He's got talent. There's something there. Anytime I don't see him, I don't understand it. Carlos, God bless him. Love the guy. But 39, obviously declining at the plate. And for Manzardo not to play on Wednesday just makes no sense. I don't know, and Todd and I talked about it on the pod last night when we recorded. I don't know if that was the front office telling Vogt, put Santana out there on Wednesday regardless so we can showcase him for Thursday in trade. But no one wanted him, obviously, staying here. Maybe nobody wanted to take on that money for 2 months. I don't know, because he's a great dude. But Manzardo has got to be playing. I'd have Kafis up here right now. I would, but they're not going to. They just don't. It's not what they do. They stay in their lane. They stick with their plan. This is our plan. If it was the plan with DeLauder, it's probably the plan with Kafis, and it makes absolutely no sense. And Their evaluation of position players is abysmal. Their evaluation of pitchers is unreal. The pitching factory is great, and this organization needs to be commended for how good they are with arms. But my gosh, Tyler Freeman comes back to town and lights us on fire Monday night, and we're watching Nolan Jones every day. It's just poor evaluation all across the board.
Hey, real quick, and I mean real quick, do you think Stephen Kwan would sign here, or does he just want to play on the West Coast?
No, I think he would want to sign here. I mean, maybe there's things we don't know. Maybe there was discussions where the agent says, here's the number, and the Guardians laughed at it. I don't know, but I truly believe he's a genuine person and told the media the other day, I want to be here. I mean, they're the ones that took a chance on him. They're the ones who believed in him. I mean, this is a guy, this is not a first-round pick. This isn't like somebody that was highly regarded. He's a very good college player, but I think guys like it here. I know people who know players, and they do say they like it here. Tanner Bibee signed for a long term, wants to be here. So the guys, Shane Bieber came back. He hated it so much, he didn't have to. So they're doing something right in these guys liking it. But is it enough to give us, the fans, the paying customers, just a sniff of a championship? I mean, the getting to the ALCS last year and just being close enough, man, it was a great year, and we got a bunch of extra gates. We made some extra money. We added some amenities. I'm going to sell those Carnegie Club seats next year if you're not even trying. Good luck. Feel bad for the salespeople.
Matt, thank you very much for the time. Find him on Twitter at Derry Speaks. It's Matt Derry, one half of the Derry Brothers Guardians cast, on the free Odyssey app and 92.3 The Fan, 92.3TheFan.com. Matt Derry appears on. Matt, thank you for the time.
Thanks, boys.
Matt Derry.